This Sunday is Psalm 118. We have been going through the Psalms. Psalm 119 is coming. So, well, that will be... Well, I don't think so. It will be many services. And if you remember, before we touched Psalm 118 in April, and we were talking about joy and thanksgiving. But today, we'll be talking about a call to be thankful. A call to be thankful. Shall we read together just verse 1? And today, I'm going to be concentrating on verse 1, Psalm 118, verse 1. Shall we say it together, perhaps like the people in Israel used to say, maybe different, they will be speaking Hebrew, you know, not us. But let's say it together. And that's what we are called to, be thankful. Let us pray before we reflect upon these beautiful words, this beautiful psalm. Give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. His love endures forever. Heavenly Father, we just want to spend this time in Your presence, Lord. Father, we confess we are sinners. We don't deserve to come before Your presence. But we do come because of our Lord Jesus Christ, and we give You thanks. And Father, bless our time together as we pray. Forgive us when we doubt. Forgive us when we walk away from You. Forgive us when we don't honor You. Father, bless our time together because we come. In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Psalm 118 is one of those Jews when they came together and people worshiping that beautiful response. The priest will say something and the people will respond. Now, we don't know sure who wrote this psalm. Many people say it's David, but we are not sure. But the occasion cannot be precisely determined, but it will correspond with joyful celebrations such as the Feast of the Tabernacles and recalling God's goodness to them during the momentous journey from Egypt to the Promised Land. And that's good for us. We are on a journey. This morning I have a conversation with somebody. He said, Freddie, I am on this journey and I am struggling. And I say, welcome to the club. You know, how many of you have a perfect life? Oh yeah, are you? We are on that journey. And the people of Israel, they were on that journey and going to the Promised Land, and they will sing this song. Each year, this joyful festival of Thanksgiving, remember God's love, God's power, God's goodness. And perhaps, you know, they said this was when they celebrate when they left captivity. It is while thanking God that we realize how blessed we are. It's only then that we realize that we are blessed. And people tend not to be thankful. Now, the people of Israel in the year 588 before Christ, the Babylonians, called now Iraq, you know, invaded Jerusalem, destroyed the walls of the city and the temple of King Solomon, that beautiful temple. Everything is destroyed. And they killed thousands of Jews and captured many thousands. 130 years later, the Lord held them to leave and go back. And God raised a man called Ezra to lead them back to Jerusalem. The main responsibility of Ezra was to rebuild the temple that had been destroyed. So they can worship God. They can do what we are doing here. And they went back. And then after 130 years, they were getting together. And can you imagine the feeling? They were going back, being able to worship. He had watched over them and then released them. Their hearts were filled with joy. And the psalmist says, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good, because His mercy endureth forever. Now, The congregation will respond. And now many people says, well, do we have reasons to be thankful? Amen. But some people said, I don't have reasons to be thankful. And the word in this text for thanks is the Hebrew word that means reverence, or to worship with extended hands and to make confessions, you are in charge. Can you imagine the people of Israel were going to their homes and they were destroyed, completely destroyed? Maybe it's like some places in United States that they went back to their homes and they are destroyed. And now you think there is no reason to give thanks. And the psalmist says, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, his mercy endures forever. Now, I heard this illustration, it touched me, and the illustration is about a missionary. He's a doctor, and he was serving in one country, and one day he was in his house, and he heard the door, and there was an old couple with a chicken, 3 eggs, and some butter. So the missionary, you know, the doctor said, hello, how are you? And I said, well, we are here because we want to say thank you. Oh, I said, for what? He said, a few months ago, you were in our village. Our son was about to die. You helped him. Said, oh, thank you. And now he looked around and he was trying to find their card. And said, how do you come here? We walk. Where is your village? 5 days walk. You see the point? They wanted to give thanks to this man. Why is it that we receive the calling to worship and we don't give thanks? We don't give thanks. You know why? It's because many people don't understand the word salvation. The first thing is that God is good, but people don't understand that God is good because they don't understand the word seeing. The word seeing is almost has been deleted from the vocabulary. Even I heard that some Bible colleges now said, do not preach to people that they are sinners. They will leave your church. So people don't know that they are sinners, and the fact is that we are sinners. I am a sinner. So they don't understand the word salvation. So if you don't need salvation, it's because you haven't heard about sin. What is sin? That we are doing something that we don't please God. So people cannot be thankful. Why is it that you go to church and sing and pray and in worship? It's because we are thankful. Why? Because the psalmist says the first is that God is good. God is good all the time. And now, why? Because God is, what is God? Good. God is loving. God is eternal. God is omnipotent. God is, omnipresent. Omniscience. All these things, God is kind. So the psalmist knows who he is, and under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, said, well, the Babylonians have destroyed us, but God is good. Wait a minute, Freddie. This year is not good for the UK. We have the uncertainty of Brexit. We have the cut. Have you heard the news that they universal credits and all the hassle there, and some businesses say we are going, we are, you know, people losing their jobs. There was a survey that said some things like this. I'm gonna get it right, you know. And some people said, one organization wrote an article and said, even having a job no longer guarantees you can keep a roof over your head. So the government must use 2018 to form a plan to build affordable houses and address benefit cuts. According to some reports, every hour in England, 5 families become homeless. Uncertainty in Brexit. You know, the millennials, how many millennials are here today? You know, when don't go there. The 10 most critical problems for millennials as the 1, lack of economic opportunities and unemployment, safety, security. Another 1, lack of education, food and water security, government accountability, corruption. So the millennials, in their minds, is this, you know, religious conflicts, poverty, inequality, discrimination, large-scale conflicts. They woke up and they are checking the news in North Korea, in America, and then Russia. And then the climate change, and we know how the weather is behaving, particularly on Friday here. Or the 2 bridges closed, and you know, all these things the millennials are thinking. If people feel the pressures, the circumstances, this year is different. I heard that there was a snow in some places in my country, you know, in Ecuador. How is it possible that that's happening? I think the entire world is depressed. But there is a good news. The only cure for this kind of pressure, when we see all these situations, sorry, is Jesus. Oh, but this person is depressed, needs a little bit of help. That's okay, you can help, but he or she needs Jesus. This person has a problem with his finance or her finance. Yes, he needs some help, but she or he needs Jesus. And let me tell you, sometimes because I love traveling because that your mind goes like that. And sometimes we are in one place and we become narrow-minded and that's wrong. 2 days ago, one lady died in the church where my father is the pastor. She was 95. And let me tell you something. I learned something from Sister Gabby. Gabriela was her name. Gabriela is a poor woman, was a poor woman. And I was studying, I was having, you know, the education, and you go and you have opportunities. Years ago, this woman and her sisters has a big problem. Husband left and the poverty is there, and maybe their children they are going to become criminals. And I remember clearly that evening when one of her sisters died and she left 2 boys. And Sister Gabriela came, she said, Brother Freddy, you need to come, help me in the funerals, can you lead worship? I said, right. And I said, well, you know, for me, a young man, I said, what is this woman celebrating? These 2 boys, you know, that's me thinking. Let's worship. Because if my sister has been taken to heaven, it's for some reason. And I was looking to these 2 boys, and I saw the coffin of this their mom there, and Sister Gabriela, very sad, but, you know, said, give thanks to the Lord because he's good. How is it possible that this woman? Let me tell you something. One of these boys is a surgeon, and he's working in Chile. He's not working even in the country. And this woman was one of the women, these elderly women, that every time I was coming to church, she would say, you are going to serve as a minister one day. I said, go away. I have seen my father suffering and my grandfather. I'm not doing it. You see my point? We need to worship God because he's good. Let's read this psalm together. You respond, and I will say, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. Let Israel say, let the house of Aaron say, let those who fear the Lord say, here the psalmist is saying, let Israel, let this nation, let the United Kingdom praise the Lord as a nation, praise the Lord. Let the priests, the ministers, the vicars, the priests, praise the Lord. And let those who fear, all of us, what? Praise the Lord regardless of the circumstances. But we need to know. We need to know. We don't need to be afraid. Verse 5 says, when we are pressed, I tried to the Lord. He brought me into a spacious place. The Lord is with me. I will not be afraid. What can mere mortals do to me? My friends, this is the favorite psalm of Martin Luther. And they said that they have this psalm in his office, you know, there. Because can you imagine in the time of Martin Luther, the kings, the people in charge, the religious leader, they will pursue all those who preach the gospel, what? To kill them. To set fire. And Martin Luther says this, "This is my son, my chosen son. It has saved me from many a pressing danger, from which neither emperor, nor kings, nor sages, nor saints could have saved me. It's my friend, dearer to me than all the honors and power on the, of the earth. I give thanks to the Lord," he says, "for his love, his mercy endures forever." My friends, as Christians, you and I are part of something greater, bigger, something that we cannot even imagine, is the body of Christ, the church. We are here in Bangor, at this moment, in Pearl Baptist Church, and we are friends. We are here to encourage one another. And it's a privilege. It's a privilege to encourage you. You could encourage me this morning. You know, tomorrow praise the Lord. We are preparing two new Christians to be baptized. One of them told me this morning, "I have been running from the Lord. He's a Brazilian. And I come to hear and I hear the message, I have to respond. I want to be baptized." A Welsh man as well, he wants to be baptized. Praise the Lord. This is a house of nations. But the only thing I preach and we preach is what? The gospel of Jesus Christ. Yes, life is tough. The moment we follow the Lord, the other things become dim and small. My sister Gabriela saw the bigger picture. Her sister lying on that coffin, and the two boys and her, with the wonderful things with this poor woman, because she turned her eyes upon Jesus. Non-liturgy, non what she believed. And she used to sing, "Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face. And the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace." We don't have to be keeping up with the Joneses, trying to do what other people do. Jesus is the one we need to please. The psalmist says, "In my anguish, I cried to the Lord, and he answered by setting me free." And I think many of us can relate to that. You know, at one time, perhaps we know our lives, we were lost. Being lost is not a bad word. Being lost means only being in the wrong place. We were in the wrong place. And we cry upon the Lord, and he set us free. You know, sin comes in many ways. It can come in the form of not being able to control our temper. I was guilty of that. There were times that Cecilia was worried if I was going down the street and somebody do something. I was one of those. Have you seen some people losing their temper and that? When we are driving, particularly. We need mercy. And we hurt people. It can come in form of disobeying our parents and treating others because we feel that we are right. It can come in the form of being angry at the world and we want it our way and according to our playbook, and we will certainly fall in. We know what happened. And then so many people turned to drugs and alcohol in order to try and shut the pain. Some people get into the trap of sex and many things because you want to be happy. You want to be filled. But let me tell you something. The Bible said, the psalmist said, when we call out to the Lord in the midst of our anguish, when we honestly call out to God, God answers by setting us free. The second reason here of verse 1 is God is not only good. He is what? Merciful. The word mercy means compassion, forgiving. And we receive something in theology. It's something that we receive that we don't deserve. That's it. God's mercy is the divine goodness, somebody says, exercised with respect to the miseries of his creatures, feeling for them and making provision for their relief. And let me tell you something. God's mercy is unlimited. Psalm 108, verse 4 says, for great is your love, higher than the heavens. Your faithfulness reaches to the sky. What a wonderful picture. You know, he is there to forgive you. You did something wrong, he's there to forgive you. You say, but one of my friends says, I cannot go back to church. I am beyond redemption. That's a lie. Because this psalm says, great is your mercy, say another translation, great is your love, higher than the heavens. Wow. Can you measure heaven? I can't. Well, maybe now with the computers. But can you imagine? God's mercy is unlimited. God's mercy is undeserved. We studied the life of Samuel this morning, and we said that Samuel was what? A religious person, a good lad, but he did not know the Lord. Psalm 103, verses 8 to 13 says, the Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love. He will not always accuse, nor will he harbor his anger forever. He does not treat us as our sin deserves or repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens, again, are above the earth, so great is what? His love, his mercy for those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far as he removed our transgressions from us. As far as compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. The greatest problem is sin. We need to address that problem. I am about to finish my my contract on my mobile, you know, and I do. I'm sorry. No, I like it. And it's, you know, they tried to tell me that I need another one, but this one is brand new. And no, you're going to have the last one. Believe me, I'm not lying. Yesterday I received 7 phone calls. The day before, 5 phone calls. The day before, 3 phone calls. I'm looking forward to see how many. And say, look, I don't need it. I just need a SIM card now, yes, to there, because I just need to talk. People try to tell us that we need something. But what we really need, our main problem, okay, we have financial problems, we have uncertainty, we have things. You know what our main problem is? What? Salvation. And we need to sort that out. And the Bible says this, he saved us. Shall we read together? Titus chapter 3, verse 5. He saved us. It's not because we are good. It's not because you have been baptized, not because you have been confirmed, not because you are good. No. Because of His mercy. And God's mercy provides salvation. That's the reason why we give thanks to the Lord. As I conclude this evening, the psalmist here, I don't have time to go through that, but he speaks about the Messiah. We touch a little bit the time we reflect upon the psalm. The psalmist says that the Messiah, God's matchless son, is coming. Maybe some scholars say that here the psalmist is saying far more than ever he may have realized. He was talking about the Messiah, that He was coming. And Jesus Christ says, have you ever read in the scriptures? This is the Psalm 118. He said, the stone the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. The Lord has done this, and it is marvelous in our eyes. Matthew 21, verse 42. And some scholars say that that stone is literally a stone that the psalmist is mentioning, the literal stone in the temple. But Jesus says, the stones that the builders have rejected, that's the cornerstone. That is what we need to provide security in our lives. Whatever your circumstances, my sister Gabriela, live a wonderful life. In my opinion, when I was younger, I thought, how is possible? She taught me a lesson. Give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. Jesus Christ, 1 Peter 2, 6 to 8 speaks about Jesus Christ. He says, see, I lay a stone in Zion, a chosen and precious cornerstone, and the one who trusts in Him will never, what? Be put to shame. Now to you who believe, this stone is precious, but to those who don't believe, this stone the builders rejected has become the cornerstone, and a stone that causes people to stumble, in a rock that makes them fall. They stumble because they disobey the message, which is also what they were destined for. May the Lord help us to be those who will not reject the message, but we hold on to that cornerstone. And we can join the psalmist, you know, and says, let's say together, give thanks to the Lord for He is good, His love endures forever. Regardless of our circumstances, I know it's hard because sometimes we go through painful times, but we still have says, give thanks to the Lord for He is good. And the psalmist finished with the same words, you are my God, said the psalmist in verse 28, and I will praise you. You are my God, and I will exalt you. How? And he said, give thanks to the Lord for He is good, His love endures forever. My friends, there are many brothers and sisters who have nothing. And you go to those places and you see their joy. And I think going back to Ecuador after a few years when I took my children to these places that they invited me to preach, this very poor area, they were amazed to see how happy they were. Because in the middle of their circumstances, they will say, give thanks to the Lord. May the Lord help us to be thankful. Thanksgiving is an essential dimension of a Christian growth. And then when we are called to give thanks, we are going to be thankful. So shall we finish our time this evening? We're going to give thanks. Shall you give thanks to the Lord? Is He good? Amen. Let's pray. Maybe feel free to give thanks to the Lord for anything. Heavenly Father, we want to finish our time together this evening. Just saying thank you. Hear our prayers. Receive our thanksgiving because we come in the name of Jesus. Let's give thanks to the Lord. Father, we are so thankful for your love, for your mercy. Thank you for this building here on this corner. Thank you for this city. Thank you for the university. Thank you for this country. Thank you for the blessings that we enjoy. Thank you, Lord, for our salvation. And we pray, Lord, that we will be able to help others that they don't know you, they don't know the word salvation, that they will be able to come to know you. So they will be able to join us to say, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good and his mercy endures forever. Oh, Father, thank you for the lives of others that inspired us. Thank you for the life of Sister Gabriela that now is in your presence. Thank you for the life of others that inspired us. Thank you for the lives like Martin Luther that he was able to carry on, and many others in this land that were able to say, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, and because his mercy endures forever. Thank you, Lord, for your word this evening. Amen.